Welcome to Kasmi's Pondering Procurement Podcast. Today, my very special guest is Chaminda Mudoma, Head of Purchasing at 4 Cabling, a direct-to-consumer manufacturer, wholesaler and retailer of cabling, server racks and IT management and electrical accessories, operating in Australia and New Zealand. Welcome, Chaminda. We're both going to be in Sydney for ProcureCon Australia from the 14th to the 15th of May. Kasmi is once again a media partner, and you're one of the speakers there. It's great to chat to you ahead of the conference. As head of purchasing at 4 Cabling, you're responsible for managing and optimizing the procurement processes through the execution of strategic sourcing initiatives and management of supplier relationships to mitigate risk and ensure cost savings. Let's start. Can you tell me a little bit about your procurement career and what led you to your current role?
Thank you very much, Brian. It's my pleasure to be with you today. I started with my career with a degree in mechanical engineering. I always have a passion for product development and process improvement. This has certainly led me to transition into product management. Over the past two decades, I immersed in every facet of my procurement process in mature and emerging economies. Graham, it's been a good journey, learning and growth, dedication, refining art of procurement since then.
Excellent. So let's talk today about the very important topic of talent management, which is one of the conference themes and something which I know you are particularly passionate about. In your experience, how do you focus on maximizing and protecting your own internal talent, as well as bringing in the right external talent for your organization to succeed?
Well, first of all, I want to emphasize the profound importance of the internal talent in driving the success of any organization. Internal talent, often referred to as the lifeblood of any organization. They are like furniture of the company, just as a furniture provides stability, comfort, and support within a space. These people serve as a foundational elements that sustain the company's operations and growth. In fact, many of most successful business leaders have emerged from lower level position within the same company. These individuals have traversed the ranks, accumulating a wealth of experience and insight of the long way. Their journey has endowed them with a deep understanding of the business from various perspectives, granting them a nuanced view that external candidates may not have. On the other hand, internal talent often possesses loyalty and commitment that may not be present in external candidates. These individuals have invested their time, energy, and passion into the company, forging strong bonds and a sense of ownership of its success. And Graham, this inborn connection fuels their dedication to going above and beyond, driving the innovation and delivering results that propels the companies forward. In my career path, I have seen many, many instances of these kind of things. In summary, internal talent is not just an asset. It's the very essence of the company's DNA. Their expertise, loyalty, and dedication from bedrock upon which success of the company firmly built in. While internal talent is invaluable, there are many occasions when it comes necessary to seek external expertise as well. There should be a strategic approach to have correct mix.
You're absolutely right. I totally get that. Interesting you say about the mix between external and internal. Does that need to be 50-50, would you say? What is that balance look like? What do you think?
In my experience, it's most probably more than 80% from internal talents.
Right.
Because the internal talents, as I explained, they have more knowledge and insights of the company. So whoever coming in board will take a little long time to understand the culture and the way of working of the company. So I would say it's about 80-20.
80%. It is interesting that you're talking about DNA and culture of an organization. Do you think people that are coming to an organization spend longer trying to understand what that looks like now than perhaps in previous years? Is it important to really get that culture visible so that anyone considering moving to, your company would say, yes, that's the sort of culture I want. And how, if that is the case, how can you describe the culture?
It depends on the different company to company. This is sometimes like a fun-loving culture, and some like a very close cultures. And I have been to many organizations and worked in different countries. So I have seen that people who are joining the newcomers, and some are embraced together, some are not embracing together, they're not fitting to the company. That's the cultural difference. I can see that some are very open to talk, some are not, and some are not, but they're doing their job only and just going after that. But there's no much attraction with their peers.
So we're saying the best teams are those where there is that culture fit.
That's right.
It's a difficult one to interview for. That's the problem, isn't
it? Yes, that is happening every time.
So let's expand on the point you said about skills development and training. Really keen to, in your view, how important is that development and training programs that really companies need to offer, whether it's new recruits or long-serving employees?
In journey towards organization excellence, it is imperative to recognize the paramount importance of the skill development and the training programs. These initiatives serve a cornerstone of the company commitment to nurturing talent and the fostering continuous growth and improvement of the company. So in most instances, offering diverse arrays of training programs, workshops, and seminars meticulously designed to enhance the skills and knowledge. However, these initiatives are not one size fits all. Rather, they are tailored to address specific skill gaps identified through rigorous performance assessments or individual development plans. Sometimes, by pinpointing areas for improvement, can ensure each training session is targeted and impactful, empowering the employees to excel their roles above and beyond. The next point I want to emphasize is to provide clear career advancement routes within the organization. Sometimes this may extend far beyond employees' current roles. This can be achieved via mentorship programs, job rotations, personalized development plans. This may be offer a multitude pathways to pursue their career goals and their aspirations. I would say this experience not only cultivate leadership skills, but also foster deep understanding of different work approaches. Let's look at mentorship programs. Conducting these programs benefits employees from invaluable guidance and wisdom of seasoned professionals. Alternatively, these programs enable them to navigate challenges, capitalize on opportunities, and develop essential leadership qualities. On the other hand, job rotations offer employees the opportunity to gain exposure to various departments or functions within the organizations. This will broaden their skill sets and enhance their effectiveness as versatile leaders. Lastly, personalized development plans, which empower to take ownership of their professional growth and also setting clear objectives of milestones tailored to their individual aspirations and strengths. This plan serves as roadmaps for their success as well. By offering a clear career advancement routes and personalized development opportunities, empower them to reach new heights of the success, driving innovations and excellence across the organizations. These are the points I want to highlight in the skill development training programs around.
Great. Thanks, Chimende. You know, I'm going to pick up on the mentoring. I'm a big fan of mentoring.
Right.
And it's suddenly, over the last few years, become quite a trendy, if I can use that word. It's something that people now appreciate. They understand the benefit that it can give them. Do you get involved personally with mentoring within your organization?
When some conflicts or some issues coming up within an organization, and how you handle that issues with the team, and how you address the way of approaching to the questions, and how you iron out this situation, what is the best solution we can give to the situation. Those are things what we can do to develop and just to make sure that the person who are in any issue can to help to develop that part.
Excellent. Of course, they need to understand, and there needs to be agreement what that mentoring looks like.
That's right.
What you're offering to do, what they are offering to do, because really it is it's a partnership. It's not something that just one person can either enforce.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. So you get both parties to agree, and they have to work with it, like a together and get some idea and like come into a certain conclusion. Then now it's a startup.
Yep, no, it could be very, very powerful. So I think if anyone listening isn't into doing mentoring or even receiving mentoring, it's certainly something that's worth worth investigating and seeing if you can either help or be helped in that way. So I'm keen to find out. We know a lot is going on in procurement at the moment. How are the skills changing? So we look at a category manager, someone in your team. Are you requiring different skills in 2024 compared to sort of previous years? What does that look like? And that would be really helpful to then sort of anyone that's looking to get additional skills. It's useful to be tuned in to what's really required now rather than something that was previous. So what would you say are the skills that are required now?
Right now, actually, this because of the volume of the economy, these different types of technology, the skills, advancement was artificial intelligence, automations, data analytics. And while the technical skills remains crucial, there is a recognition of importance of soft skills such as emotional intelligence, adaptability, creativity, critical thinking, and the problem solving. These skills are essential for navigating complex challenges, fostering innovations, and building strong interpersonal relationships within the organizations. So I would say that these are changes we have to address, and we have to do some training programs to develop these skills just to transition period.
Okay, excellent. No, totally agree. I'm going to pick up on artificial intelligence. I'm going to do that. I am sure at the conference there will be plenty of conversation about AI.
Yeah.
What's your recommendation for someone that perhaps has done nothing on AI? I'm not sure how much you use it, but what would you recommend they do in order to build up some skills in that area?
So it's again like a computer. Now we can define the AI in a different arena, and like very old days, it's like even the normal using like a calculator. It's like you do something like very easily you can understand to do your work. The same way right now, this now when you come to like number crunching, so there are many models developed with the machine learning with the AI facilities. So it will give develop to some extent that you can make more data available and within very few time frame, and which is give like a more accurate figures. So my recommendation is when someone comes into the AI using the AI, so you should understand, they provide the correct directions, then only you get the correct answers. Otherwise, it's the garbage in, garbage out situation still.
Yeah, that probably is the main issue.
Yeah.
Clean data.
That's right.
Garbage in, garbage out. I mean, so you've got to get the basics right, but
correct.
I still think it's an exciting opportunity. So if you're not using some of the AI tools, some of them you can use without much charge. I mean, even the ChatGPT, get using it.
Yeah.
Get familiar. And I've heard number of people say it's almost like learning a new language. And like your example of the calculator, when we first had a calculator, didn't really know exactly how it would work. You couldn't rely on it. And if you put a stupid figure in, you can't rely on that calculator result. Well, I think the same for AI, specifically ChatGPT. See what it comes out and then learn how you can really get the most from it. So I think there are plenty of skills to develop, and it's something that we should be doing to keep up with the expectations for the future. Okay, yeah, no, very true. Okay, let's not dominate on AI, but it's a really important thing. Let's talk about external talent, because we've discussed it's important to get the mix right in your department. You want the culture to be right. How easy is it for you, and we're specifically talking about Australia, how easy is it for you to find external talent, and how do you recruit?
Well, in Australia, after COVID-19, it's really difficult to find the correct people. That is one of the challenges in every organization right now facing. because to find it, the cultural differences and a lot of issues coming up. So internal culture plays a pivotal role in shaping the overall atmosphere and success of the organization. So the positive internal culture is the employees by engagement, loyalty, productivity, ultimately driving the company towards the success.
Excellent. And where do you go to look for people? Have you any hints or...
Basically, if you go like a LinkedIn, then you have to go through your own time and find out the best people. But it is also very difficult. But there are the vast range of pool of professional. But still, to finding is like a time-consuming thing. But you can, there's no cost for you. But if you go with the headhunter or like another agency, so you have to pay a little higher fees for that, then you won't get this exact, take a little time to get these correct people on board. However, though we found the people, when it comes for the work, maybe it's not suitable sometimes. I mean, though it comes to the interview process and to find the screening processes, and maybe still you can see on this on board and like maybe their resume is really strong, but when you come to the work ethics and all, but it's not as strong as what we see.
And that's a really difficult one to question and test at interview, isn't it? That's
correct.
I guess some you win, some you lose. The reality. Yeah. Because, if there was that killer question that would really tease out around work ethic and suitability, culture, all the things that we've been talking about, life would be easy, but it's not. There isn't one. Mm-hmm. But interesting, I mean, globally, LinkedIn has completely disrupted the whole recruitment market, and it remains a very useful tool. As you say, it's no charge, but it's time consuming.
That's right.
And therefore, you've got to balance that. You can go round in circles and not find someone. It's, of course, by definition on LinkedIn, they may not be actually looking for a job. Just because someone's on there, they may not be looking. So it's a slow process, but it is being used by so many organizations now.
That's correct, because LinkedIn offers a very vast pool of professionals, but requires active sourcing efforts. That's the biggest challenge for anybody, because sometimes with the work pressure, if the hiring manager maybe doesn't have time to look into in the work hours, definitely the after hours only you can check. And but still, it's a challenge to find the correct people to any organizations. So I would say my recommendation is try to retain the people, whoever you have, and nurture them and build them, and just to make sure these people are within the organization and give like the full support for us.
Excellent. Chaminda, thank you for those insights. So it seems very clear in terms of talent management, you've got to get that mix of people right. You don't want to be constantly having new people. You've got to be considering the culture, the training, the development of those individuals. Recognizing skills have changed, and it was great talking and getting your insights how AI can start to influence the process. Internal culture, very important. And if you don't get that alignment, then it's not going to work out for an individual. External talent, not easy to acquire. It's a difficult market. You say it's difficult in Australia. To be honest, it's difficult every part of the world. If you want the right people with the right skills, you've really got to be almost selling procurement. Sell what it is that you're offering and really demonstrate, you know what, procurement's a great place, great function to work, whichever company you're in. Chaminda, thank you for those insights. I'm excited to see you once again in Sydney in May at the ProcureCon Australia conference. Thank you very much and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this CASME podcast. All episodes can be found on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss a future one. If you'd like to find out more about CASME's procurement events, research and benchmarking, get in touch with us at casme.com.